Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we have life. Lord, that you've given us life today. Lord, that we've all been able to wake up, Lord, and to breathe, Lord, in your spirit and your life. Lord, I just pray that there would just be an igniting in our hearts. Lord, that there would be an infilling, Lord, of your presence and of your joy and of your peace. Comfort, Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would not only have a service, Lord, but we would have an experience with you. Lord, that there would be a drawing, Lord, of our hearts closer to you. Lord, a knitting, a connection, Lord, a synchronization, Lord, of lives. Lord, as we come before you right now, Lord, in worship, as we come before you, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just allow our hearts to open up to you. And if there's anything in us, Lord, that's keeping us from experiencing your love to the fullest degree that you have for us today, Lord, that you would remove it. You would remove any hindrances, any roadblocks. Lord, anything that is not of you, Lord, that you would just allow it to be taken away. And that there would be just a purity and an honesty and a reality, Lord, to our relationship today. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your never-ending grace and mercy, Lord. They're new every morning, Lord, and we just celebrate those mercies right now. We just celebrate the goodness of God right now. And we just thank you, Lord, for this time together. This work, Lord, that you're going to do in each and every one of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Every time. Spirit. Where my trust is without borders, You are perfect in all of your It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. We're actually going to talk about that this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, team.
Works in my pocket, huh? I broke the mic today. Not dropped the mic, I broke the mic. So.
Pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty weak clip. Yeah, I'll try not to. Yeah, as it's in my pocket. Should I maybe sit it here and then walk away and forget that it's there? Maybe my back pocket? Which pocket would be best? Better. Okay. Sorry, we're working through a couple technical issues here. Not like that's a surprise, right? Okay. Thank you, Lord. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. We are loved. No, we don't always feel like we are. How about my shirt pocket? I'm really nervous now that you got me like...
Sit on the table next to
you. Yeah. I'll hold it in my hand. Or my lap. I don't know. We got to get this fixed. I can tell right now this...
I'm just saying, don't put any pressure on the
camera. Oh, yeah, right. Me.
It's
like Jesse says you're a bull in a china closet. Well, the Mythbusters proof that a bull in a china closet is no problem. I said more like a squirrel.
He's the problem. Welcome home, family.
I am the problem. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay to be the problem. Praise the Lord. Well, yesterday I was talking to... To Gay. And I said, boy, I haven't gotten anything like for today. And I said, not like any, like a verse that popped in my head or anything like that. And, or I guess I'll just, we'll move, continue through John 6. And I said, have you gotten anything? Oh, yeah. And so we're talking today about, well, why don't you go ahead and share first? Because okay. I put a title to this, but it may not be exactly... what we need. Go ahead.
Well, this week, as I was reading my early morning devotions, and then I was watching a podcast from somebody, I heard them say one particular sentence, and it struck me. You know how you sometimes it'll just hit you, and it's like, wow, that's really powerful. And then, and so I've pondered on that statement. Time and time again this week. But then we were driving somewhere. I don't even know where we were driving. And the Lord gave me a picture of Tara. And this picture of Tara, because she watches all the little babies, the picture of Tara or any mom that watches their child begin to walk and the baby walks, you know, a step or two, and then they do that toddle thing that they do, and then they fall down. Our first instinct is to say, yay, good baby, you did such a good job. But I believe that sometimes we as Christians believe that God is saying, oh, you dodo bird, you fell again. And he's not like that at all. He is more than Tara, whatever, or any mom was saying, you, what a good job. Get up, let's keep moving on, you know. And we never make the baby go back to the starting line. The baby just gets up where the baby started walking and continues. And we, as a person of God, if we are, we tend to think, oh, now I have to go back to start all over again. Jesus, forgive me, blah, 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 blah. But Jesus is like, no, come on now, let's keep going. We can do this. And so when I was talking to Mike about that, he brought up this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, which I found so utterly wonderful, because Phyllis has been gone. This is Phyllis. Phyllis, wave your hand. Hi, everybody. Phyllis has been gone for 2 weeks, and she came back today and showed pictures of her trip and showed a gift that she had received from her daughter. And on that gift is Jeremiah 29:11. And it's a beautiful cross, absolutely gorgeous. If you want to see it, come see Phyllis after church and she can show it to you. But it just reminds me of how God is so thoughtful of us that he would confirm what we're talking about today. I mean, do you see, this is not by chance. This is not a happenstance. This is not coincidental in any way, shape, or form.
It's planned.
It's God's plan. And so I don't think I'm ready to do the statement yet that the Lord
gave
me.
Okay.
So I think let's start.
Okay.
And
that's
I'm
good.
Sure it's gonna come in.
Okay, because I was waiting for that. Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right.
So let's go ahead and start.
So I've entitled this His Thoughts Towards Us. And I mean, obviously we know that God's big and that he has a lot of things on his mind. But he also has each one of us on his mind. Individually, and he has thoughts towards us. He has feelings towards us. He has even emotions towards us. So let's hear through the word what God thinks about us. And hopefully, if we know what he thinks about us, then the reverse would be what he's not thinking about us. You know, like you said, you
right.
Dirty dodo bird, why did you fall? Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and read Jeremiah 29:11. How many have heard of Jeremiah 29:11 before? It's a very popular verse.
I remember.
Yeah.
When you first came across this verse.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember?
29:11, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you sent me 20. You
I
gave me
made
20
him 13. A bookmark that we had like some kind of craft class at church here, and Jamina was teaching us how to write this cute little writing thing, and so on this that I did for him was Jeremiah 29:11, and he had never even heard the verse before. Now that was 24 years ago, but now this verse has just taken off like hotcakes. Almost everybody knows it because it's so powerful in his thoughts towards us.
Right.
And we still have the bookmark.
We do.
Okay, go ahead, babe.
So Jeremiah 29:11. We don't do this very often. Let's see if we can read it together.
Oh, that's good.
So, on three.
Three.
For I know the thoughts that I have towards you. I'm quoting another verse. Let's try again. One, two, three.
Oh.
That I think.
Sorry.
Yeah.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord.
Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's try that again. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So does the Lord think evil towards us?
He says not of evil.
Not of evil. And this is Jeremiah. As speaking, as a prophet, we know that Jeremiah was a very, very accurate prophet. And he was speaking to the children of Israel who had been falling. They'd been messing up. They'd been basically believing in false gods. They weren't worshiping him. They were being mean to innocent people. They were doing everything that he asked them not to do. And because of that, there were consequences coming upon the land. They were going to go into captivity. But in the middle of all this declaration of judgment, God reminds them, no. My thoughts towards you, though, the way that I'm thinking towards you, I have thoughts of peace. Even though calamity's coming, even though judgment's coming, I don't want to do evil.
Well, and Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, mm-hmm. and his weeping came from the brokenness of the people.
Right. And that he saw.
That he saw, that he was experiencing, and he wept for them. And there are times that I believe that there are leaders in this land that weep for the people of God that are missing.
Or for the nation in general, in even general, not just the people of God.
And there are such people that are just like Jeremiah that weep when they see the devastation of what's happening in our land. And so that's why I believe that this particular scripture has become so well known, because it just seems like we're nosediving as a nation, to me anyway. It's just a personal
observation.
But I love it that Jeremiah loved the people so much that he wept for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that that's powerful, because when someone weeps for you, that means they really do care. Like they really have a brokenness for you, that you find the God of peace that has those thoughts for you, and that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you have a future and a hope in him, without having to, you know, do anything. He's not a puppet master. You don't have to right foot in, right foot out, left foot in, left. You don't have to do any of that. It's because he has thoughts toward us of peace and a hope and a future for us.
I mean, you don't have to jump through hoops, no, and you have to dot every I and cross every T.
No.
So how do we respond to God so that we can enter into these thoughts of peace that he has for us, and that he can give us a future and a hope?
Well, I believe it's personal relationship with him. I believe that it is getting so personal with him that there comes a desperation for that deep, you know, his deep calling to mm-hmm. our deep. I think that God is really actually requiring that of us as a church, but more particularly as individuals. I believe he's calling to us, and it's not by chance that any one of us is sitting here today. God knew who would be hearing this, mm-hmm. this moment, this day, and it's not a surprise, and it's not coincidental in any way. He's planned it this way. And I love that about the Lord. I love that he does that. And I love that he plans it so intimately that he would put terror on my heart about the babies,
mm-hmm.
that Phyllis's daughter would buy her that cross that is talks about the verse that we're bringing today.
And I mean, Phyllis wanting to bring it and show
Phyllis
it.
I mean, there's so many things that are happening here, and not one thing is a coincidence. Not one thing at all is something that just happened.
And those are just the ones that we know about. We don't know what God's been doing in each and every one of your hearts.
Exactly.
Or who is ever listening today. How
exactly.
he's been preparing you as good ground to receive this message.
Amen.
So in 2 Timothy, we go on with this idea of how God is thinking towards us, how he responds to us. In 2 Timothy 2:11-13, it says, "This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful." He cannot deny himself.
Yeah.
So it does say here, if we deny him, he will also deny us. And I don't know what level that we have to take that to where we're actually denying him, you know, because I've seen a lot of people deny him that I would call deny him. And yet he still remained faithful in that time. So, That's a mystery to me. I was actually asking the Lord. But I know that if we're faithless, in other words, we're having a difficulty moving forward. We can't get back up. We're still down on the ground. It doesn't matter, because he remains faithful. He has a faithfulness to us that goes beyond our weakness. And we know that even his strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
But he can't deny himself. That's a powerful statement. He cannot deny himself. What does that mean? That means that to him, our condition is if it was himself.
Right.
When God sees us, he doesn't just see, like, you know, somebody stumbling, bumbling around, you know. I mean, it's just like a mom when they see their baby. It's like they're seeing themselves trying to walk.
Yeah.
It's like they're seeing those struggles that's going on in their physical body trying to move, and they want to move for them.
Yeah.
Because they're a part, just like Tara, they're a part. She's got your disease, baby disease. It's okay. It's a good disease to have. But it's wanting them, wanting to actually have you, or have them, you know, do what you want them to do. Not in a mean way, but in a desirous way. You want to see them fulfill their destiny.
Right.
And I believe that's what God wants for us.
Oh, I believe that.
I hope
too.
I expressed that properly. Okay. Here's one. Romans 8:31. Paul's in the middle of Romans, and he just got done saying, you know, that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, and that we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So then he says, what then shall we say to these things? All the previous things he said. If God is for us, in other words, if God is for us, he could have said, God is for us. He's not saying, well, if God's for us. He's saying it in a way that he wants to make a statement, who can be against us? In other words, God is for us, therefore who can be against us?
Right.
So the thoughts that he has for you is what? A future and a hope of peace, not of evil. He is for us. He is for you. No matter how many mistakes you've made or not, maybe you've been living a pretty good life, and so, you know, you can get to be a little bit self-righteous at that point. But I'm here to tell you that he's even for you, even in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see you to be like him, because
he
sees himself in you.
Yeah.
Because he's placed himself in you by his spirit. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, let's look at James 1:13-17. Again, this is what we're trying to get you to understand, that there's principles about God. And I think this might lead into why you can make the statement you can make. There's principles about God that we need to understand that are, I guess, unchanging, because he is unchanging. So as we learn these principles that he's for us, he's not against us. He wants us to see, he wants us to have peace in our lives. He can't deny us because he can't deny himself.
Right.
So there's another one. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do you want to read 16 and 17? Yeah.
Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
So in other words, don't be deceived. Well, first of all, if we go back to that previous one, it says that God's not the one tempting us. God's not tempting us to see how strong we are. I'm going to throw temptations their way so I can see if they're strong enough to overcome the temptations. No, he explains that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. And we will let those desires kindle bad desires, not good desires. Mm-hmm. Desires for him are good desires. Those are good ones, like kindle. But bad desires, we let them kindle. What happens? They get conceived in us. They produce a fruit in us. And usually when we produce that fruit in the conception of that thought, we end up actually doing something. And that's when it becomes full grown.
Right.
So, but don't be deceived. God is not giving us temptation. He's giving us, as he says here, every good and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation. So there's no deviation. There's no variation. There's no gray areas with God. He is good. Mm-hmm. God is not good one day and evil the next.
Right.
He's not loving us one day and the next day he's just dumping his anger on us. Kicking the dog syndrome. We're not a dog that he kicks around.
Right.
We are beloved.
Right.
That word beloved means that we are highly loved and favored by God.
Mm-hmm. So this morning after worship, the Lord gave me this one scripture that I'd like to read. It's 1 John 1:5, and it's not on the screen, but this is what it says. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, which goes along with this, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, let me just say this. People will sin against you. People will hurt you. People will leave you. But God will never forsake you. There's no darkness in him. God, and this is the statement I want to make to you, and I want you to hear this. God cannot sin against you. It's not in his nature. It is not who he is. Your earthly father, your earthly parents, your earthly friends, your earthly whoever, they can sin against you, but it's impossible for God to sin against you. Now, let's take that a little bit deeper and say, but God, what about the shape of the world? Or what about the shape of my life? Or what about this friend that hurt me really bad? Or what about those people that left the church? Or what about, you know, what about this? What about, we can have a whole dirty laundry list. But in him, there is no darkness. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is a good, good father, and he cannot and he will not sin against us. So when those things happen, death of a child, death of parents,
divorces,
hurts,
loss of a career,
financial issues, on and on, and that's that laundry list. When those things happen, God still will not forsake you in them. That's the kind of God he wants you to get to know. He wants you personally to understand and know. And the only way that happens is if you go deep in him personally. You can come in and you can occupy a chair and you can walk out and you can say, my good deed for the week is done. Got that marked off.
Check it off. Yeah.
But God says, hey, wait just a minute. I can't sin against you. You're leaving the best thing you have when you do that. Don't allow your pattern of thinking to say that the between Sundays don't matter, because they matter more than any Sunday you will ever live through. The between Sundays will matter more. God cannot sin against you, and he will not sin against you. So with that being said, and him really being the only true friend, why wouldn't you want relationship with him? It absolutely makes no sense to me why people would say, I don't want relationship with him. It boggles my mind. And it boggles my mind when I think of all the stuff that's happened just in our 24 years of marriage. It boggles my mind that I don't know how I would have lived through those things. Bearing a child, having a divorce prior to marrying Mike. All the things, the hurts, the pains, all of that. I don't know how I'd have got through it without God. But people are like, our first instinct is to blame him. But you guys, we can't live a life like that, because he didn't form us to live a life like that.
No.
He did not create us to live a life like that. He created us. The main purpose he created us for was to worship him.
And to be like Jesus.
And to be like Jesus. So if there's no darkness in him and he cannot sin, what do we need to strive for? No darkness in us. We need to strive not to sin. But we also, you guys, it's that deep calling to the deep that's just getting me this morning. It's like, if you were the only one that walked in here today and nobody else showed up, Jesus would still be here calling your name. A guy came to church in a huge snowstorm. He was the only one that showed up, him and the pastor. The pastor said, well, maybe we should just not have church today. And this is what he said. You know what? If only one cow came to my barn, I would still have to feed it. Jesus wants to feed you today. Jesus wants to give you something today that will change you.
Yeah.
For the good.
Sila.
Amen.
Means stop and think about it. Psalm 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. So he delights in our ways. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I'm not a good man. Yes, you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you've received Christ's righteousness by receiving Christ's work on the cross, folks, you're a good man. You're a good woman. You're a good son and daughter of God. Your steps are ordered by him, and he delights in your ways. And though you would fall, in other words, though you would not stable, he shall not utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. Even though we fall, we're not cast down. He still holds on to us. Even if we're flat on the ground, we think that, oh man, this is over. This is it. I've fallen beyond falling. No, he's still got you.
Yeah.
That's that never leaving or forsaking. He still upholds you with his hand. Ooh, I love that. Here's another good one. Psalm 5:4, another characteristic of God's nature. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Now, you could probably read this way. He takes no pleasure in anybody else's wickedness. In other words, someone being wicked, he doesn't take pleasure in them. And he does not want evil to dwell with him. But I think it means also deeper that God takes no pleasure in any kind of wickedness. Mm-hmm. That God is not looking at the world and when someone gets theirs, you know. And you guys ever seen a movie where there's been this villain all the way through the movie? And I mean, he's done things, he's down and dirty, he cheats, he steals, he kills people. You know, this guy is like, you know, the villain. And at the end of the movie, usually a good movie, the villain gets caught, or the villain gets, you know, what was coming to him. We all kind of cheer, and God doesn't do that. God does not cheer when the villain gets his. He hurts for the villain. Makes you want to think about the next time you're watching a villain movie, right? He does not rejoice in someone else's demise. And that's something that I know in my humanity is really difficult to get a hold of. Because, you know, in the political realms, in the in what you would call the social realms and all these other stuff, you can have these different classes. You know, you have the alt-right and alt-left. You have the left and the right. You know, you have conservatives and liberals. Have all these different groups. And when you see, like, one stumble, you can kind of sometimes say, yeah, they got it. And that's not God. I mean, that's not his nature. Now, I'm not trying to put a shame on you, slap your hand. I'm trying to tell you that that's not who God is. He is not just waiting for somebody to trip up, even if they don't know him, so they can get their comeuppance.
Right.
He is wanting to see the very best of every single one of his creation, including us. That's why we're here, because he wanted to see the very best, and he made sure whatever it took, we would get the message. And whatever it took in our hearts to prepare our hearts to receive the message, he did. That's the God that we serve. That's a God that loves us. And it's easy to get an us-them mentality as Christians. Well, they're not Christians, so they're just going to go to hell in a handbasket. You know, they're living lives like, just all the different names that you can call them. But that's a God. He's breaking. He's hurting for them. Well, you say, Pastor Michael, he's going to send them to hell. No. God doesn't send one person to hell. Because we think, well, he's the one who sends them. No. They're the ones that keep away from him. He doesn't send one person to hell. He would want every single... I know that's maybe theologically challenging you, but it's the truth. God does not reject them. They reject him. It's all on our end. If we could just get it that the work of the cross is a finished work, all we have to do is embrace it. So yeah, I know he's going to, judge the living and the dead, and we have all those scriptures, and we understand that there is some kind of great judgment. But in the end, he's not sending people. They're choosing not to be with him. Just like we choose not to be with him now. God is not going to force himself on one person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, go ahead. Am I theologically wrong? You're going to get me corrected? Okay.
It's God's will that
none should perish, right?
That's his thoughts. He does not want one person to perish. And that's when they're alive. No, to God, we're always in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he sees us as a finished work. I mean, in all our imperfections, Zeke, he sees us as a finished work. Isn't that good news?
Great news.
He doesn't look at us like we look at us in the mirror and see, boy, there's some rough edges there that need to be shaved off. He needs some trimming. He needs, because he's just not the image that I want. No, he sees us like he sees Jesus, fully finished, glorified. That's good news.
That's very good news.
Okay, I'm sorry I digressed there a little bit. But the point being is he takes no pleasure in wickedness of any kind. Here's another characteristic of God, and it all ties into the idea that he cannot sin against us. He cannot, God is not out to harm us.
Right.
Even if we deserve it. Yeah, I'm gonna hurt them enough so that they will come to me. You know, guys, he doesn't have to do that. Life will hurt you. Has anybody experienced life hurting you? You can blame God that he was the one hurting you. No, it's life. Because life is fallen. This life that we're in is a fallen place, a fallen world, a fallen nature. People that we're dealing with have fallen nature. And they have their own agendas and their own desires. And guess what? We're going to get hurt. But it's not God hurting us. So God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken? And will he not make it good? In other words, God is one of these guys or individuals or nature. His nature is when he says something, that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, so let it be written, so let it be done. Some people say, well, God's changed his mind a little bit in the Bible. You can read where he was going to destroy Israel because they were not following him at first when they were in the desert. And Moses interceded, and God said, "Okay, I won't do it." So some would say, "Well, he changed his mind." Well, he changed his mind, but he didn't change his nature. So there's a difference. Mm-hmm. I know some people, it's hard for them to, you know, equalize that. But your nature, you know, is who you are. Has anybody ever tried to deal with somebody and say, "I'm going to change. I won't do that anymore." And you're dealing with them. And it's in their nature. Their nature hasn't been changed yet. Guess what? It doesn't matter how much they desire. Until that nature is changed, I believe supernaturally. Mm-hmm. I used to be very indifferent, very cold-hearted, calculated. I would say things that would hurt people. This is before I came to Christ. It was before 19. I mean, brutal things. You know, I just say it. And it's like it had no effect on me. And that was my nature. I would make jokes about people, and they'd make jokes about me. But I mean, I was mean. But when Christ got into my heart, guess what started changing? My nature. My nature became kind-hearted and loving and caring. And it threw some people off. It's like, "Who are you?" Because mm-hmm. I'd like saying, "Oh, we don't say that. What do you mean you don't say that? That's not the way you rolled before." And I mean, it's like pretty instantaneous because my nature changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God's nature, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is love. He is light. There is no darkness. Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead and read this, babe?
Sure. Psalm 139, 1 through 6, Passion.
This is the Passion Translation.
"Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You've examined my innermost being with your loving gaze. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul and understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength."
And this is a psalmist who had an intimate understanding of God's amazing, amazing thoughts. And not just thoughts, but the way he was active in this individual's life. And I believe this is David. He's communicating the nature of God's heart, and that's kindness. And I love this part where it says, And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. In other words, I have things that I should be getting, you know, having consequences for. But even in kindness, you're going behind me and making sure that those things I've done don't have to come and affect my future that you have for me. That's powerful. "With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing to me." He's speaking over us blessings. He's not speaking over us cursings. He's speaking over us life. He's not speaking over us death. He's speaking over us hope and a future. He's not speaking destruction and calamity. If we're facing destruction and calamity, it's because of either our own choices or what the world is delivering to us. Not because of God. So what would you say? God can what? Not?
He cannot.
Sin against us.
He can't.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm. Just like it's impossible for him to lie, it's impossible for God to sin against us. Because there is no sin in him. Mm-hmm. There's no darkness.
I remember a story that I read about a little girl that her parents were both into drugs and alcohol, and the police had been called many times to their home for domestic violence, and one night, I guess, dad brought in a gun, and a gun was involved. And the little girl hid behind the couch. She's about six. And the dad shot the mom and killed her. And she went, the little girl went into the system because dad went to prison for killing mom. And she went to a foster home. And she remembers looking up on the wall and seeing a picture of a man. And she's like, "Oh, I've seen him before." And the lady says, "You have?" And she goes, "Yeah. When I was hiding behind the couch that night, he was there hiding with me." And it was a picture of the Lord on her wall. And the little girl said that God was with me. Now, did something terrible happen? Yeah. A woman's life ended. And a man's life pretty much ended too, because he went to prison for it. But God was there for that little girl. Could he have been there for the other two? He could have, but they made choices. And, you know, I can't speak for all of that. But what I do know is God was with that little girl behind that couch. And he's with us today. He is with us no matter what happens. No matter what befalls us. And that's really good news. I mean, it's great news, you guys. It's like, how many of y'all have ever had a best friend? A lot of us can say we have. But God's even better than that. Because, one, he'll never sin against us. And a best friend can and will. Two, he can never lie. Because it's not in him to lie, but a best friend sure could. But think about how close you are to that best friend. How deep that relationship is. And God wants to have an even deeper one with us. I mean, the God of all heaven wants to have deep with me. Like, that's almost unfathomable for me to think of. I mean, it just blows my mind that God would want that for me. But he does. And he wants it for each one of us. And what is so powerful is that it reminds me of a story about when our son Stephen was a little boy and he had a favorite blanket that he slept with. And got to be 5 years old, and it's like he's going to school and like he wants to take the blanket with him. That blanket is not going to school with you and no backpack, son. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. So I cut it down into small little squares, tiny ones, like this. And I sewed them all together. And he could stuff one in his pocket and still have his blankie with him and nobody would ever know about it. That's how God is. He's like, "Here's your little blankie. You can, you know what I mean? Like that comfort that you need, that peace that you need, that feeling of familiarity. You can feel that with him every minute of every single day. Take him with you. Will you? Today, will you take Jesus with you? Will you say, "Lord, yes, today's my day. Today I'm calling on you to come into my heart. I receive you. I'm going to remember today. Today is a special day because I'm taking you with me. Today, I'm going to do that." Your life will never, ever, ever be the same again. It won't. And if it gets to the point where you go back down into, you know, some pit of despair for whatever reason, he's already been to hell for us. Because it says so in the scripture. So if we're in some kind of pit, he's in that pit with us, guys. But today it's our opportunity to make that conscious thought and say, "God, I take you with me today. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you that you were willing, God, to send your one and only Son to take my place when I should have been the one. I should have been the one, God, that paid for all the stuff, the bad stuff that I've done. Not Jesus. But today, God, because you've chosen me. Today, because you want to be deep within me. Today, because you want relationship with me. And today, because I know you will never sin against me. I know you will never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You are God, and you cannot lie to me. I choose today to take you with me.
Yes.
Will you do that in your heart today? And let today be a changing point for you. Let today be that turnaround, that 180, and just go the other way. Just choose to go the other way. And for some of us, that may be a big choice to make. I mean, we may have to lose friends over it. We may have to stop things that we're doing that we like to do. We enjoy it. It doesn't hurt anybody. But God is saying, will you just take me today? Will you just do that? And let me help you. And if I want you to stop doing this or that, I'll tell you. But we don't have to sit up here and say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, you know, thou shalt not this, not, you know, thou shalt not take drugs, thou shalt not. We don't have to do that for you. God, Holy Spirit, when you take God with you, Holy Spirit's in you. You'll know. He'll tell you. Stop. He'll tell you. Go this way, go that way. He'll tell you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He's that good, and he loves you that much. He loves you that much. Everything that's happened in our lives has been in our lives for this moment, bringing us to this moment. Everything. And he made this moment for you and for me. He's a good, good father. And I'm loved by him, and so are you.
Amen.
We need to pray for Bruce. Phyllis has asked us.
Okay, go ahead. You want me to pray?
Just say why.
So, Phyllis, we're going to go ahead and pray for Bruce. We're going to pray for Bruce because that's a real big, heavy burden on your heart. Bruce is her son, and he lives in. Oh, we're going to bring her up here.
Yeah,
okay,
she can't hear you.
Oh, we're going to bring you up here.
Go
can you not hear?
You can hear Mike. What he's saying.
We're going to pray for Bruce.
Okay.
And do you want to go ahead and share what's going on with Bruce, and so that we can all.
I was with my son over the weekend, and he has dialysis 3 days a week, which is pretty trying on him. But he has the diabetes stuff in his legs, and he is unable to be stable enough where he has to use a walker. And that was kind of heartbreaking to see as a mother.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect that when I walked in. But I also got a beautiful reward. He has remarried, and his wife is absolutely the most phenomenal woman you've ever met. She is so in love with my son and giving him. She stands her ground, but she loves him dearly, and I can see it.
Oh, good.
And that made me feel good to know that he is with somebody that really cares about him.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, Father, we just lift Bruce before your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we know that this mother's heart, Lord, would love to see her son, Lord, healed and yes. and delivered, Lord, from this diabetes, Lord, and from the need, Lord, for his kidneys to receive dialysis, Lord. We ask right now that the favor and the grace and the love of God would be extended towards Bruce and his entire family, Lord, so that there is healing in the house, Lord.
Amen.
Healing, Lord, in their bodies, and healing, Lord, in any conditions, Lord, of their hearts and mind and soul, Lord. We just speak life. Lord, we link our hearts, Lord, with the way that you think towards Bruce and his family right now, Lord. You have want them to have peace, Lord. You have a future and a hope, Lord, for them, Lord. Yes. Not of evil, not of sickness, not of disease, Lord. So right now in Jesus' name, yes, we speak life over this home.
Amen.
And Lord, we speak life, Lord, over Phyllis, Lord, and over Ken, Lord. We speak life, Lord, that she would continue to be strong and continue to serve you and continue, Lord, to be the daughter that you've called her to be, Lord, then the life, Lord, that you've called her to be in this day, Lord, to bless others. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. I love you. Does anyone else have anything this morning? Yes.
Come
two.
On, boys.
Come on up.
Come on up.
Well,
men.
Roger.
Sorry.
I used on the, it was Romans 8:31, mm-hmm, where it says, if he is for us, who can be
against us?
That part always kind of makes me wonder, who is against us? Is it somebody trying to condemn us? Is it hate? Death? Can you clarify that for me, please?
Well, we know that the enemy of our soul is
against us,
and the enemy of our soul is the darkness, and we know the enemy of our soul is rooted in the devil, in Satan, in the one who rejected all of God's goodness and literally wanted to become God. That was his desire. And so his desire is to if you look at, he's the exact opposite. He does desire our future to be terrible. No hope, no future. He does desire us to be in a place of anguish and no peace. And so
he will lie, and
he will lie. He'll cheat, he'll steal, he'll kill us. He'll do everything he can so that we go down with him, because he has already been judged. His judgment is sealed. His judgment is I guess, for lack of a better term, written in stone.
Yeah.
And he has rejected God in a way that he has no repentance. It's hard to understand that, because I look at a loving God, but Satan has in a way understood all to be able to reject him. I mean, we're still seeing through a mirror dimly.
Right.
We're still seeing through, you know, the haze of this life. But he clearly sees everything and rejects him. He is our enemy. He is the one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. Mm-hmm.
And
does that answer your question?
And he will bring sometimes people, sometimes thoughts, sometimes circumstance, different things that would make us want to reject God.
So bring condemnation
to us. So he is the enemy, and he will use anything to get you not to love Jesus and want to go deep and have that depth of relationship. So he'll use whatever he needs to. So it for some people it can be an addiction. For some people it can be a person. For some people it could be whatever. I mean, the list could go on forever, but the enemy of our soul will use anything to get to us, to draw us away from God.
And that's when his desire.
When you feel, I wish Panda was here, because when Panda was here and talking about tithing, and she was saying she was faithful about tithing, but she wanted to test God about the tithing after she had been tithing for 3 years, and she said, I didn't tithe for a while, and our finances stayed the same. It was all good. But I noticed my relationship with God started going further and further away. My relationship with my family, we started bickering and arguing, and my relationship with my husband, we started having problems all over again. And she felt that separation from God not in her financial area, but in another area. So she knew when she started giving again, because it's very important to Panda to tithe. When she started giving again, all of those things started coming back to her. She started having a better relationship with her husband. She started having a better relationship with her family. She started feeling God move in her spirit again. All of these things are issues that, like, we don't talk about tithing. We feel that that's something between you and God. There's a box here. There's a box back there. Anybody can give that wants to give, but it is part of your worship to give to Him. If you choose to do that, your life will be blessed by doing that, because you're giving to God what God, what, you know, that first tenth of it all. But it won't keep you out of heaven not to give. It's totally, again, it's totally personal. It's relational. Everything about God and me, or about God and you, is relational. Bottom line. And every aspect of God. So that means the lying, the sinning, the tithing, the everything. It's about you and God. So that if the enemy can get at you any way he can, he was trying to get a Panda. And Panda recognized it. And she came up here and she's told everybody about it, because she wanted to break that off of her life by saying, God didn't take my finances, but He tried to take other things from me. And I recognized how important it was that I do not sin in this one area of my life. So does that make, does that help answer your question?
Yes, that also gives us power to
reject. Oh, in the name, exactly. The name above every other name. Come on, Roger. Oh, he's got his Bible.
Good.
I love that.
Jeremiah 29:11, that's part of my email address. It's my favorite verse in the Old Testament. But you can't bring up Jeremiah 29:11 without talking about Jeremiah 29:12.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the key to it. If it weren't for God's great love, He wouldn't have thoughts towards us to begin with.
Right.
So since He does, and since if we, and we need to know that, it's very critical that we need to know that God loves us and His thoughts towards us are good. And this is what He says to confirm all of that. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. For how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. He calls us to the banqueting table because His standard, His banner over us, is love.
Amen.
And I'll end it with this. There's no substitute for intimacy with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. That's good. Woo. Yep. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Well, you guys have a wonderful week. God bless you all. What?
She said amen.
Amen. And I didn't walk off with this. I'm so proud of myself. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for being here, you guys.
Yeah.
Love on one another before you go.